Blog Talk Radio. I can love you with my eyes closed.
Come. trying to spend no time in the house. If you ask me, I won't feel it. I say yes to going out tonight. Oh, I did that in a minute. Called it off, oh, called it off for you. You're always going on and on. That's why, oh, why I'm not with you. I don't go out much, but you should come through tonight.
I don't even have to question. word.
All right, we're going to try this out. Hopefully, I need somebody to check to make sure that you can hear me talking in the background. So hold on, let me unmute the good brother Wendell.
Yes, good sir. I can hear you.
All right, because this is weird because I had no mic, no phone. I'm running this completely through the studio. Podolo, so I'm using ambient mics and things of that sort. So we're going to work this out as it goes on. Let me just get to it because, you know, I'm a little bit behind schedule. I'm opening people's mics. If you don't want your mic open, please let me know. Keep me posted. And we're going to keep this going. All right. So, good evening, one and all. Welcome to Cooking Radio Universe presents the War Council. The War Council is a steam panel of conscientious creatives that we handle community issues, relationships, topics, and I've added a Reddit thing that we can talk about, and we also take questions. So if you're listening and you hear us, you know, you have a question, if you know me personally, feel free to ask me a question. If you are in our group, please feel free to put a question on that. I did not do an event page. I didn't see the need for it because normally you put a whole bunch of stuff on the page and it'd be like only a certain amount of people come anyway. And if you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. We don't particularly care because we're going to do what we came to do regardless. Now, that being said, on the coolness of the coolness, let me introduce you to the dope members, the very super superlative, great, incredible, amazing members of, and if you haven't been, you need to get to know them on an individual level. They're super dope people, good people to be around. I love their opinion. So let's start out with the good brother, the eloquent one known as Wendell. Wendell, are you there, good brother?
Most definitely. Peace to the family. Good to be with you again for another War Council.
Of course, of course, of course. And then we're going to go over to Virginia. We're going to see Miss Lisa Lips. Are you there?
Hey, baby. I am here.
Hey. All right. Well, we sounded nice and clear. I like it. I like it already. All right. We're going to one of my best friends, Philly John. Brand new grandma, grand, grandma, Mima. I know she happy.
Hey.
Happy the day is long. This is Donnell.
Happy birthday, Diva.
Everybody say this up,
thank
and
you.
And it's her birthday. And it's her birthday.
Best birthday present ever.
All right.
I'm telling you. Hey,
all right.
Everybody.
All right. So we rocking. Then we're going to go over to my other, one of my other best friends, Mr. Dawood. Everything else is going on.
As usual, everybody
Dawood
else is always loving. I just get Dawood.
Didn't leave some daddy bring up.
I didn't even finish. I was seeing if you was there.
And next to my desk on the floor.
Hold on. I see. Wait a second. I got Zawina in here, of course. Our station manager, Mr. Van Metal. Hold on. I have to mute for 1 second. 1 second, I got to mute. Is that bad? Anybody here?
We're here.
Yeah. The music went away.
I was like, talk amongst yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no, it's because I was just paying attention. My bad. All right. So that's what I know. I was going to say domestic violence advocate, all-around good guy, community change agent, big man with the big shoes, the big riches. Dawood.
Peace, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hey, hey.
Good, brother.
Beautiful.
All right. Of course, we're going to go to Mr. Pineapple Calligraphy himself, the station manager over here at Pippi Radio Universe, aka Poetic, Mr. Van Meadows.
Hey, what is good, family? How is everyone doing?
Looking forward to another dynamic show. Happy birthday, Don. Yeah. All right.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, too.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you guys, thank you.
Have on a better day. And, of course, newest member of the Tiffy Radio Universe, brand-new show, the King and Queen show. Miss Zawina, are you there?
I'm here. Good evening, everybody. Thank you.
Hey, hey, Diva.
Good evening.
Hey, hey, birthday girl. Good evening, everybody.
All right, and for added measure, I threw him in at the last minute because he's sitting around. And information, make sure he's around. Mr. Nicky Black, are you there?
Yo, what up, Mo?
What's going on, Brody?
Chilling.
All right. So now we got everybody here. Gang's all here. We're all going to talk about. All right. So the topic we're discussing tonight is love bombing and other neckings. We'll discuss how love bombing is a narcissist tool to gain easy and early access in the relationship to make a person relax so they can ply their trade. Plus, we're going to talk about the truth and lies in a relationship. So I'm going to bring some stuff that we were talking about in the discussion. I got a Reddit segment, and I definitely have an issue there. Well, I want to bring before the council. It's a real live issue. Everything else is happening. And, of course, I'm via the back channel or the back channel, which is my phone. But you can hit either one. If you have any questions, let us know. Or, you know, you can post to us directly or hit anyone that you know to ask some questions. And we'll go from there. So, do y'all want to handle this real live situation first? Because I think that's going to be a good start, and then we'll get into love bombing. Y'all want to do that?
Go for it, bro.
Me? Yourself?
All right. All right, so Danielle knows what I'm talking about because we talked about this earlier. So, say you've been with someone for 22 years, right? You have always been the person providing, protecting, you know, no matter what happens, you've been the person involved in the situation. Now, right, up until now, like literally, like when you pay rent, say you pay $1,500 in rent. And so they only work part-time, only want to work part-time. So you basically pay $1,200 and they pay $300. And that's just the way it's been. You pay the majority of the bills, almost every bill, you know, and they only pay for, like, cable, internet, stuff like that. They buy food, but they buy food very sparingly. Like, they don't do big shopping. They just do, you know, as needed. They don't do, like, oh, okay, let me go out here and spend $200-$300 on groceries for the house. They do, you know, they do 50, 60, 70 type shopping. All right. So with all that being said, you no longer have a love relationship other than obligation to each other because you have a child together, right? And with the child, you handle all the responsibilities coming with the child. You do all the shopping, all right, with the exception of the other person does some of the things, but not all the things. The person doesn't really go to the school and do certain things. They just don't do a lot of stuff. Plus, they had started working Uber Eats and things of all that stuff for extra money, but that money is their own personal money. Now, for holidays, like ever since I guess their main parent died, you know, because they didn't really know the other parent, they've been in this whatever that they've been in. But, you know, they tell you that they're in this funk, so they've all but stopped having sex with you, right, because of how they feel. But every holiday, they're spending holidays with people that they know, not you. Then, right, you discover inadvertently, you know, pieces start adding up that this person is probably cheating on you and has been doing it for quite some time. You don't have any proof, but certain things make sense, right? You figure it out,
you say to them, you say, listen, you know, I've done all of these things and all it did was give it. Now, you yourself, you've been faithful this whole 22 years. You've not slept, not crept out, not done anything. Not as if that's like a badge of honor, but you hadn't. You say to this person, all this did was get me cheated on. That person does not respond, has not responded, has not spoken about it. So, War Council, what is happening? What do you think happened? And what should that person do next? Minutes to go. Anybody can go.
That's a lot to digest there, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. But I said y'all want to deal with this first. I said we're going to get this started. We start with that. And then we're going to go right to love bombing.
Well, the main question goes, are you them asking, are you cheating on me? Is there something going on? And there's no response whatsoever. Now, it could be what I see, one or two things. Either they are and they're scared that you may actually know. They're not sure. Now they're trying to figure out how much do you know? Do you actually know? And what can they say or do to either cover it up, or do they tell you the truth? Or they could have been going through something back and forth between themselves, and whoever is being questioned may be just tired of that and just feel like, I'm not responding to this shit today. I don't feel like it. One or the other, you know. More than likely, no answer is the answer. Okay, yeah, they probably cheating. So that's my take.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to answer?
Yeah. I mean, this is obviously a huge unethical situation, and you got to really understand that you can't change anything that has happened, but you can change what will happen. So, if you've asked the question outright and they have not responded, and I'm assuming that this is an in-person conversation, because I don't think that anybody would say, hey, over a text, hey, are you cheating on me, and actually expect a truthful answer. But
Wait. Addendum, what if it was over text?
Oh, well, I mean, that's if it's over text, that's if you ask the question over text, you know, and they don't respond back to you, typically you can see if they've gotten the message, if they've read it, if it's been delivered and whatnot. So
right.
After, you know, a certain amount of time, if they have not responded, then in the absence of information, it's easy to make things up. But, you know, if you're not going to answer the question, then you're leaving the person with no choice but to draw their own conclusions based off of
absolutely
the assumptions that they have.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, the only person that you have control over is you. So you get to decide if you want to continue in this, and if you don't, then you exercise your autonomy, you exercise your no, and you exit. But you can't get them back. You know, there's no such thing as get back. You know, in a situation like this, because
right,
they're gone. How do you get back somebody that's gone? So
right.
Actually, you know what? I'm interested to hear from, let me hear from, if I can, I would love to hear from Van Meadows.
Bruh. My first thought was, is this a real life situation? That was my first thought, because it sounds stupid.
It is.
And then my second thought, And then my second thought was, nothing surprises me anymore. But the mere fact that the individual put up with being used, because I know what that's like. Now, the other party may have been, may be in love, but like Wendell said, exercise his autonomy and say no and check out. No matter how hard it might hurt, no matter how painful it may be, at some point you have to cut those strings and let them be who they're going to be and walk away.
All right. Dawood, your opinion.
Bro, I'm trying hard not to judge the victim. I'm trying very hard not to judge the victim. And I believe that the person that was in the situation for 8 years is definitely the victim. But it's very hard for me not to judge this person because just like Van said, you jacked that for 8 years. Like, you literally jacked that for 8 years. I don't know. What I do know, and I kind of started talking about this tonight in my life, man, people change. People are very complex, and people change. And just because they liked you in the beginning does not guarantee they're going to like you throughout a relationship. I'm not saying that that person asked to be cheated on because there's no, you know, nobody asked to be cheated on. But at some point, that person, you know, that person that did this act lost interest in the brother that was waiting or the person that was waiting for 8 years. And if you're not in tune enough to see that there's a shift that's going, and that shift means that that person doesn't feel the same way about you that they did when you saw that they had stars in their eyes and you didn't do nothing about it. I'm not saying that you deserve what happened to you, but what I am saying is that you need to really get more clarity either through healing, therapy, or whatever, so this shit don't happen to you again. Because whatever made you sit there and jack that for 8 years is going to make you jack it for somebody else. A sucker is born every day. And there are people out there who are looking for suckers every day. And if you are that kind of person that you're going to sit there and jack not having sex with somebody for 8 whole years, there's somebody out there that's willing to sell you a Brooklyn Bridge just like that person sold you the Manhattan Bridge. So I'm not trying to judge the victim, but what I am saying is that we have to be a lot more in tune with what's going on. That's why I'm glad I'm a water sign, because I'm swift and changeable, and I'm able to adapt to a certain environment. And even though certain things may hurt, I can take the form of the new situation. But when you're rigid and hardcore, which is what I think that the individual that allowed this to happen for 8 years, to have a very rigid, very narrow way of looking at relationships, love, life, whatever. A lot of this shit to me is shaped by TV propaganda also that gives you the perfect relationship and the perfect family. And I would say this to you. I remember my mentor said this to me in like year two of me and him meeting for therapy sessions. He said to me, he said, Dawood, is it possible that you have a vision of love that's based on songs and not reality? And I said, oh shit, I never thought about that. Because we get our concept of love and relationships from movies, from TV, and really from music. And then we get into relationships and we feel let down because what they were singing to us about is not reality. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you understand? And happy birthday, sis.
Thank you. Thank
I think
you.
That, I heard that sweet voice, I was like, but I think that's the ticket is that, I think the ticket is that that person needs somebody who can teach him how to be more adaptable to situations. You cannot sit in those situations for no goddamn 8 years, and you saw it shifted, but you're head on and content to just sit there. You can't do that. You got to change, because if you don't, you're asking to be tremendously psychologically damaged. And what does that say to you when you get into your next relationship? All you're going to be saying is, "Well, shit, if I do all of this, are you going to cheat on me?" Don't nobody got time for that.
Right.
So I just think that person needs to hook up with somebody that can make them more adaptable, because that should never have happened.
I mean, well, you know what? Before I do that, Eric Cole 484 just came in the room. Eric Cole 484, who master speaking?
Yeah, this is Blaze.
Area code 4. All right, what up, Blaze? That's what I thought. I just want to make sure because I'll be reading the numbers. But I'm going to come back to you in a second. Let me go over to Edwina. Edwina, what's your opinion on it?
My opinion on it is I think that we are missing very key information. Like, did they have an agreement in the beginning that he would pay most and then she would pay a little bit? And then the fact that in the end the relationship didn't go the way he expected it, and now he feels like a victim because they're basically parting ways. I think that women, when they leave a relationship, they leave it in pieces. They don't leave right away. By the time the person is left, they've already, and it sounds like this person, the person that we're referring to as the one that is taking advantage of the dude, or the person, is using him when she might just be leaving him because she doesn't feel as though she wants to be in a relationship with him anymore. But without verbalizing that, especially when you have things together, I just don't think that the fact that he paid a larger portion of the household expenses should be measured with the fact that she isn't giving up sex and that he thinks that she is cheating on him because of some sort of a void in their relationship. I think we're comparing information that's not fair. And that's only knowing that from being in a similar situation myself. Like, if you agree to something and then the circumstances of that agreement changes, it doesn't make a person
right.
a victimizer just because they no longer, you know, agree to what you guys first agreed to. It's unfortunate, and it is sad that relationships end, but we automatically take an ending of a relationship as being that somebody has to be the villain and someone has to be the victim. She obviously isn't present in a relationship anymore. If you don't want to pay rent where you both live, then that's a different set of patterns, if you ask me.
And okay. I want to add the homegirl's excellent opinion. Nobody is obligated to love you just because you take care of them. Nobody is obligated to that. And that's the shit that we really got to get through our heads. I had to learn that the hard way, and everybody else got to learn that the hard way. Just because you're taking care of somebody does not mean they got to love you and give you sex. That is a whole different area of stimulation that you engaged in before you started taking care of that person. And now all of a sudden, this is what happens with men, I think, because this happened with me. We transfer our romantic side and whatever we did to seduce a woman into loving us and having sex. Then we transfer that to, I'm making the money here. And nobody is obligated to trade money for sex. That's prostitution. So I'm not saying that person, you know what I'm saying, was 100% in the wrong, because in the spiritual universe, there's no such thing as right or wrong. But I think that we need to really separate the agreement to take care of one another, or who's taking care of them, and the sex, because we're jumping, we're merging two situations that are really exclusive, I feel.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The ability to compartmentalize certain pieces of a multifaceted relationship becomes very important, so that when you are able to have a conversation, you're not conflating issues. Because there's multiple questions that is on the table here. How has the agreement about the rent changed? How has the agreement about their romantic or sexual relationship changed? Is there an expectation of exclusivity? Is that exclusivity contingent upon financial transaction? There's all kinds of different layers that you can add to this. And when people get emotional, then those walls between the compartments typically crumble, and you lose the ability to rationalize. And that will inevitably and invariably lead to the destruction of any kind of relationship that could be salvaged, assuming that both parties want to be amicable.
Want it. That's the key part.
Well, but I think I don't think it's about a prostitution thing. I think that if a person doesn't I don't think it's a prostitution. I think if a person believes that, you know, the person's having a hard time, anything else is going on, and they don't really type of person to force a situation, they can fall into it and they can be busy with other things. There could be a whole bunch of other stuff that's going on in the background that doesn't permit them to do things. However,
all right.
I think I'm also a fan of people will do exactly what you allow them to do for as long as you allow them to do it. And so if I can get away with it, and I got away with it, and I keep getting away with it, I'm going to abuse that system no matter what. Especially if that person is a quote-unquote nice person who doesn't force issues because they want to make sure that they're not seeing a thing. You have to, you know, there's been information missing, but, you know, if a person grew up a certain way and they wanted to try to keep their family together because that's what they believe in, then that can also help to assist the thing from happening. However, people have to get to the point where they're tired. So, like you guys said,
can I add one more thing to this, bro?
Huh? Go ahead.
Can I add one more thing to this? When I was younger, when I was younger, the first time I was a lieutenant, first time I was the first officer, I was living with two younger brothers that were in the ranks. And I remember that I paid the lion's share of the rent, the food, and all that other stuff. And, you know, it was a really conflict of interest because these men are under me and then they're living with me. And so I remember, I didn't even really realize that they had an issue with me, but one day my teacher took us out to Denny's. And what I didn't realize was this was a meeting to talk about my behavior. So we go to the meeting, and my teacher asks him, what is the issue that you have with Brother Lieutenant? I'm like, oh, shit. They're like, he expects us to do this, that, and that thing. He in the house. I ain't got no father, this, that, and next thing. And my teacher said this, and I'll never forget. He said, just because you are paying the most of the rent and all that other stuff does not mean that these two men have to take your bullshit. And I will never forget that as long as I live. I am not saying that that's what applies in this situation. But, again, I am asking that we separate the providing part of this from the expectation of sex part of this, because as somebody told me maybe I want to say 7 years ago, bro, just because you take care of her doesn't mean that, you know, that doesn't make her love you more. You know what I'm saying? Like that side of her that wants to have sex with you is not activated because you're paying her bills. And it's the truth. But as I said in the beginning, society that we're living in tries to make it seem like that, and we all on this line that that's bullshit. They try to make it seem that if you as a woman take care of a man, or if you as a man take care of a woman, then they should love you and they should fuck you. And that is not the case. That is not the case. And the sooner we understand that, the sooner we will stop heartbreak. I feel that way. And I'm not saying that about this individual, but I'm saying that in general.
I agree. We come into a relationship and get deeper into it under the guise that they're supposed to be obligated to love us back, take care of us, especially if you get into the relationship and don't get that established early on that, you know, this is the way I do things, and how are you going to work with me on this? How is this going to turn out? You know, I expect this and I expect that. Most people don't talk about these things. They just go in under the assumption that a person is going to love them, a person is going to respect them, a person is going to appreciate what they do for them. And it's just not like that. You know, there's a big breakdown in communication, especially nowadays, with everybody wanting quick, fast, in a hurry relationship. And, you know, it's just a lot of things have gotten lost along the way. And that is one of the main reasons why these relationships turn out like they do. It's people don't talk. They don't want to get to know one another. They just want to get into it. Oh, I'm in love, so he's going to love me back. You know, I do all of this. You know, I watch funky draws, I rub his feet, I rub his hair, I do this, I make all these runarounds for him, you know, I submit to him, I know he's just going to love me back. And that isn't so. That isn't the way it is. It's sad, yeah. But, you know, that's how it turns out.
Relationships have become largely transactional, which is why there's such a big focus on the risk-reward model.
Mm-hmm.
Mic drop, he said, relationship becomes transactional. That is bomb. Mic drop.
It is true.
All right, so true. All right, so focus. So here it is. All right, so we talked about it. What do you think the next steps should be? If a person no longer wishes to continue, they're doing everything, they're sharing everything, they have a lease together, you know, they share a child together. In that thing, what would be your next steps, you know, for the war council, when you get to decide how you're going to separate and part from this person? And what would you tell them in order to maintain, because maybe they're heartbroken or they're heart sick? What would you do?
I mean, you have to...
Go ahead.
Wasn't there a caller that was making a comment as well?
Oh yeah. Blaze is on here. I'm gonna get to everybody.
Okay.
Here it is. All right. So first things first. Right. A. Right. What does the person do to completely separate and move forward when they're heartbroken? B, what is the steps that you would take in order to severe your financial, relational relationship that you have with that person? And what would you tell them in order to work on their mental health? You know, C is, what would you tell them to work on their mental health and their physical health, you know, as well as spiritual, but, you know, that's subjective. So those three things, A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think I would say that A, B, and C are the most important things, because it sounds like the way the story is being recounted, this person feels like they lost something that they're going to need to get back before they're going to feel whole again. You know what I mean? They feel like they gave something away that's a loss, whether it's money or time or trust. They gave something away. So you really, I think, have to rebuild that in yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually before you feel like a whole individual again, especially when you're walking away from a situation. I feel like that's the worst part about walking away from it, when you're not ready to, or when you're not the first person to let go, is that you walk away at a deficit that you kind of have to rebuild inside of yourself before, you know, especially before you get out here and go into another relationship, but for your own personal good and well-being, so you don't feel like you need to go back into something because you're less than on the outside of it, if that makes any sense.
I don't think the hardest part is walking away. I think the hardest part is coming to the realization that you have to let go. Once you get past that, that is what usually keeps us holding on, fighting the fact that I gotta go. I can't do this anymore. Once you come to that decision, walking away is not the hard part. It's the easy part. That's my opinion.
It's the decision to pick up and move forward. That's the hardest part of it. And I mean, I get that this person feels like there's a deficit because they were footing the majority of things throughout the relationship, but the relationship fell apart long ago. You just stayed in it because you thought there was some obligation to the child for you two to stay together. But what they are fighting is more or less the fact that they have to admit that it ended long ago.
that it fell apart long before we got to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, letting go is always harder than cutting ties. They're not synonymous. When someone makes a decision to cut ties with you, there's nothing that you can do about that. You can try to hold on to, you can try to hold on to them even though they've obviously severed the ties, they've severed the tether, and now you're trying to hold on to the piece that was already cut off. But when you, it's harder to surrender to the fact that they have let you go, and that the best mm-hmm. thing for you to do is to let them go as well, because that battle is with you. The cutting ties is the battle with the other person, and once they cut ties, then you're now fighting yourself. So now you have to decide to stop fighting yourself and accept, practice acceptance that this is now gone, and now invest in yourself. I think that's always a harder thing to do.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Blaze, I had to hear from
I don't know where this all started, so I was trying to get some insight on everything. I mean, I'm just coming in and I'm hearing part of the story, so I don't know exactly what I hear what we're talking about, but I don't know exactly what we're talking about.
Okay. All right. Well, if you want, we just pass. We'll catch you up after that because we're about to move on, because it is 9:59. We got to move into the next subject, because the main thing, so we got to start out where it was a lively conversation surrounding that. The last thing I want to cover in this last thing before we move to the next segment is what steps would you take to heal yourself and move forward? What are some things, what are some tactics, some ideas, some tried and true things that you might have done to help yourself from being heartbroken, heartsick, and moving forward and severing that relationship? Because we already talked about letting go, but where's the how? How do we do it? What does it look like for you? And everybody has their own particular idea, so we're just gonna make a big gumbo, throw everything in the pot. All right.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. So for me, it's understanding what got you to a point where you feel disappointed. Maybe it was you, because you were either moving too fast and in some type of decision-making process, and instead of taking account of the big picture, you just saw your little space on the picture, and you decided to make that the big picture. And so you pretty much disappointed yourself, because you saw yourself as moving someplace where either they probably told you ahead of time that they weren't willing to make that move yet, or you didn't even inform them as to what you were seeing, and then allowing them to see the part of the picture that you were seeing. And then they could have included you on, okay, well, did you see this in this area, or did you see this over here or that over there? And so now it opens your mind up to, oh, no, I didn't see that. But you didn't incorporate that, and because now you didn't incorporate it, you upset yourself in the situation, the whole scheme of things, and you're mad. But who are you actually mad at, and what do you actually do to overcome being mad? And, like, you got to step back and gather yourself and understand that, okay, maybe I didn't look at everything. Maybe I'm the problem. Or even if they're the problem, then you have to make sure that you step back, look at everything, you know, gather yourself, whether that be praying, meditating, trying to understand what went wrong and where it went wrong. But you can't just all of a sudden be mad at them and just end it.
But here's what I'm asking. I'm not asking about what you did. It's after the fact. What will you do now that it's over? What will you do now that you're past this? Like you said, praying, meditating, that was more the answer I was looking for, you know, because people always need something to do to try to figure out what it is that they need to do to heal themselves. So that was the answer I was really looking for, you know, not just to, you know, because I'm pretty sure that 9 times out of 10, like, if you've ever been in a breakup, I've been in breakups, like, I know for a fact that you're always going to be thinking about what you could have did, what you couldn't do, but what was more important is what I did to move forward. So that's the question that we were looking for, which you kind of answered already. But definitely, you know, what is something in your opinion, like praying, meditating, that's the thing you would do?
That's the thing I would do. Like I said, what I was saying was just, like, focus on what the problem was at hand and take a step back. Take a breather, pray, meditate, is basically what all I was saying, so that you can understand what went wrong and where went wrong. And then you can pray and meditate on whatever the problem was at hand.
All right, cool. Anyone else? Any other...
Prayer definitely helps. Meditation definitely helps. I don't so much think you want to focus on what you left, because you're trying to leave it back there. You're not trying to go back there. I think the main thing you need to focus on is how to keep from going back there and falling into what you got away from. Because if you stay focused on that and you think back on it, it's too easy to pick up that phone and deceive yourself and say, you know what, I'm going to give this another try, knowing that this person is no good for you, that situation is no good for you. Just leave it the hell alone and keep on looking forward and find things to occupy your time. Some people throw themselves into work. Try not to go down a destructive path, though. Try to put your attention into something positive. That's how I learned to keep from going backwards and focus on myself. You're going to be angry. The thought is going to cross your mind. It's going to the memories of that trying shit is going to come back, but you can if you stay focused on something, more so invest in something that will help you concentrate on gaining something later on. I think that helps a lot.
No, I was only stating that so you wouldn't go back and do that again in another relationship. That's the only reason why I was saying. Look at what you might have done. That way you don't carry that into another relationship. That's all I was saying.
That makes more sense. All right. I was like, why would you step it back? You know, instead of dragging that in, don't bring the old luggage to a new relationship. I got you.
Exactly.
Anyone else like to figure out what are some other things that are happening?
I would, because I've had to do this. I've actually done it twice. I simply just walked away after I realized that no matter what I did, it wouldn't change the situation. I walked away.
Yep.
It was hard because the first time it wasn't hard because we didn't have kids. But in this situation, I'm hearing there's a child involved. And I have children with my ex. So it was hard to just up and walk away, but I did. And I paid the bills for two households because she was not working. So because I realized that this is not going to work, but now I got to figure out how to go from being a family dynamic to a single parent household. So I had to get help with my mental to make sure that I was going to be okay as a single parent. It wasn't even about the relationship anymore. Yes, I was hurt. It was painful. But I had to focus on the next task at hand, which was being a single dad to my children. So getting help, getting counsel for myself before we started working on some of the rest of those items that you listed.
I think it's definitely an untangling when there's a kid involved. It's not just a matter of it, you know, it's not going to cut even. There's always going to be a sacrifice a little greater and things that, you know, entangled in that person. And it's not to mention the people that honestly financially can't afford to live on their own. So that's a whole other consideration. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be that person that walk away and leave them financially in a bad way when you really can't do it? Exactly. But the main thing, I think, I like what Poetic said, like, you know, before you get to the point where you actually walking out of that door, I think you have to pour into yourself the way that you were pouring into that marriage or pouring into that relationship. And once you start pouring back and like Dee said, investing in yourself again, you feel strong enough to make those decisions and you feel like you're going to handle it. You start thinking like an individual again. And I'm only speaking so passionately about this because I'm in the middle of a situation so similar to all of the things that we were talking about. And sometimes the other side does seem like a scary place when all you've ever known after a long period of time is that relationship. And I think the biggest obstacle is breaking up with the idea that you had for that relationship and the idea of yourself as an entity in that relationship. You have to break up with all of that and then reinvent yourself. So that takes investing in yourself. You might have to change up a couple of habits or give up a couple of those perks of being in that situation and make some sacrifices. But reinvesting in yourself is definitely a big part of walking away from any relationship. And in doing that, I think you'll see, like, maybe this particular part of it was my fault. You know what I mean? It wasn't all that person's fault. Maybe I did slip up in this particular area, and maybe we didn't address it right, or maybe this big obstacle was bigger than we were able to or capable of getting past. You know, you come to terms with those things as you pour back into yourself and start to believe in yourself again, and then you become less the victim in that scenario and more or less the person that just decided, hey, this wasn't for me. And I did love this person, and I loved my life when I enjoyed my life with this person. But that period of time has ended, and now it's time to walk away from it. But it takes a lot to get to that, and a lot of times people will storm out when they're angry, and then in the end you end up coming back to it because you didn't make peace with it. You didn't reinvest back into the person that you want to be outside of that situation.
Yeah, thank you, Edwina, for giving me a topic for one of my shows, because I'm so still in what you just said, break up with the idea of that relationship. I'm just letting you know right now, it's stolen.
It's offhand.
All right, so, hold on, matter of fact, let me scoop around, because I hadn't heard from Lisa Lips, and I want to make sure everybody's being heard. So, Lisa, your opinion.
I also think that you have to make yourself comfortable with the idea that you're not going to get answers. You're not going to get complete clarity to the end of things. Because sometimes when a relationship breaks up, we want to know why. We want to know what took you away. We want to know what caused you to walk away. We want to know all kinds of things that you're probably never going to get answers for. So you have to when you see that it's at that point where it's done and over with and this other person has checked out, you have to pick up yourself and start moving forward and stop asking why like a three-year-old trying to figure it out, because that's just wasted time and energy that's never going anywhere. So you at the end of it all, when it's fallen to that point, it's time for you to start asking what it is I was supposed to learn from this mess and move forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds good, because a lot of things, I think, for me in particular, you know, me speaking with the individual, I said, you know what, the most amazing thing about this all is that you get the chance to recreate things in the way that you see fit. You know, that you don't have to be obligated to a person that's definitely not obligated to you, but, you know, the idea of being able to have the freedom to go outside of yourself and let go of yourself and recreate yourself. You know what I mean? I think, like you said, you know, break up the idea, but get comfortable with the idea that you're going to be uncomfortable. But even in the idea of being uncomfortable, the beauty of it is that we do our best growing when we're in unfamiliar places, unfamiliar territories, things we haven't done before. It allows us to access the different parts of ourselves that we may not use, because complacency is a mother, right? And a lot of times people say, because they're complacent, mm-hmm. they're used to it, they know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They rather the devil they know than the devil that they don't. So therefore, you know, people fall into that. But when you're doing something new and you're growing, you're accessing. You know, like I was talking about a memory I had when I was little. I said, literally, I would walk. Like, I remember one time, like, my brother used to always want to take a different bus because of the buses we had. But literally, we learned to get up earlier. Like, you know, like when things were good, right, we would walk to a whole different portion of where we lived at and take a bus. And it was such a different experience because it seemed magical that it was just so unknown. And we didn't know if we was going to be able to get this bus or anything, or how people were going to respond to us. But when we took the bus from that particular place, it, you know, everything stuck out. The water on the ground frozen, the leaves, the redness of a fall, the cold, crisp air, everything stuck out. And it was such a magical place because it was something I hadn't done before. And I think in relationships, it's the same thing that happens when you go into something. You go, you know, you invest into yourself, most definitely, but you focus on you, your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health. When you focus on you, reinvest into you, and you come to terms with things. You know, you find the roots of the madness that you might have participated in or say anything else, and you can grow past it. Like Lay says, you figure out why you did something wrong or anything else. But once you adjust for you, and you love yourself that much more, it makes you easier to love. It makes it easier for people to be around you. Makes it easier, you know, even if you're not a person that's bad to be around. So to me, I'm like, literally, you know, this is opportunity. It's an opportunity. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's the opportunity to love yourself that much more, to do that much more for yourself. It's the opportunity for, you know, one of the things the individual told me is like, because they had been, you know, subsidizing the rent. They was like, no, you're responsible for half of this. So I'm not giving you more than half. That's it. And that extra money, they're like, okay, well, let me take this money and I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to start reading these books. These are all things mired in helping your mental health to get better. Because a lot of times when we have problems with breaking up, we don't talk to people. Like I know, like I had to have someone come to my house, get me out of my bed, push me into a shower, you know, push me into a shower because I couldn't get up. My feelings, my emotions had weighed on me so heavy I couldn't move, you know. And now it's like, if I encounter anything, I have more than enough people to talk to. I'm more than people, and I can literally move forward in a sense because I'm willing to involve myself and willing to move forward. I think with anything, when we think that we're losing something, I think that sometimes if it's a bad relationship, we're losing the complacency that we utilize to keep ourselves or to obligate ourselves to that bad relationship. You know, that's what I think. So I don't have my plan. Anybody else?
Yeah. That last statement that you said there, man, that was a bar, losing our complacency, you know. relationships, especially when they become long term, can lull people into a sense of security, whether it is true or false. And that security can sometimes or oftentimes be, create an illusion. And then when change happens, especially change that we're not prepared for, it strips us of our illusions and we are exposed to the harsher realities of life that we insulated ourselves to because we were so securely, warmly wrapped in our illusions. So,
wow.
Yeah.
All right, so we take one more comment, then we got moving because time is moving. I looked up. It's already 10:17. That's wild. That's wild as shit. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It was kind of fast.
One last comment.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
That was kind of fast.
The time is moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, right? I'm like, damn. Right? And this new setup is killing me because, like, I hear everybody perfectly. I ain't struggling with anything. I could, like, it's weird. So I'm like, oh, I guess I got to do this from now on. Huh?
What I was going to say was, is brother, you opened up the show with this thing here, and you got a lot in there that we got to unpack and we got to dig through. I mean, you know, that's a lot.
That's true.
That's very, very true. Mm-hmm. Very, very true. All right. So, matter of fact, let's just move into the next segment, right? We're going to talk about this love bombing thing. And then hopefully we can get to truth and lies in the relationship because that's on Wendell. And we're going to go from there. But so we're going to talk about love bombing, right? So reading from this article by Courtney Miller, The Narcissistic Abuse Cycle, all right? It said if you've been in a relationship with someone whose narcissistic traits, you may relate to the narcissistic abuse cycle that involves love bombing. These traits involve grandiosity, lack of empathy, the need for admiration to regulate a fragile sense of self, and very low self-esteem. All right. So what they're trying to do is go over the idea of what, you know, it is so you can recognize love bombing so you can avoid getting stuck in the abuse cycle. And they said search personality disorders as NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, developed from some form of abuse or neglect in early childhood development. Modeling of proper self-soothing or socialization didn't happen for the afflicted individual. Due to the individual NPD's intense need to regulate their self-esteem, they ignore their partner's boundaries in a relationship, all right, in favor of their needs. The person with NPD tends to crave control of their partner to regulate their self-esteem best. Typically, control achieves through love bombing cycle of abuse. All right, so love bombing is when you are showered with nonstop gifts, compliments, attention, and it begins a cycle of abuse where the love bomber withholds love and attention to manipulate you. Being showered with love can feel so good. It can feel an instant confidence boost to feel so wanted and appreciated by someone, yet something doesn't feel sincere. You can't put your finger on it, but it's there. You may have become your partner's narcissistic supply, a.k.a. the boost to fix their ego. All right, stage one. All right. They're talking about the story of Andrea. Andrea had been dating her boyfriend Mike for about a year. She recently ended the relationship due to him cheating on her. After the breakup, Mike started showering her with the most beautiful love letters she's ever been given, along with thoughtful, expensive gifts. Andrea at once was swept away, yet suspicious. Mike had never acted like this in their relationship, not even in the beginning. His character was inconsistent. He was hot and cold. Right, her attempt to understand his new behaviors left her confused. His grandiose gestures felt manic to Andrea. Mike was attempting to recapture their love at an unnatural pace. Andrea felt overwhelmed by this attention to the point where she found herself disoriented. Mike's new behaviors, though confusing, left her feeling hopeful, but she needed space to process her feelings accurately. However, he would not give Andrea the space she needed. He feared that Andrea's space would create distance between them and she would leave him again, which would be detrimental to his self-esteem, and Andrea's rejection was a blow to his fragile ego, and he needed Andrea back to feel good about himself. Logically, she knew that this push-pull cycle would continue, yet torn because on an emotional level, she wanted the love that Mike promised her, but there was a part that felt loved, a part of her that felt loved by the actions he was taking. However, she saw the endless cycle of Mike resorting back to lousy behavior once he got bored, then begging for her back when she leaves.
All right.
So, that being said, cue the music, back to what it is. All right. Now we're talking about it. We brought that back up.
Sounds like a runner chaser dynamic.
It is a runner chaser dynamic, but in using that, the idea of that, all right, so technically I'll use myself as an example, so which is one of the reasons why I brought it up. One of the things that happened that was not good was the idea of, hold on for 1 second. Hello?
Yes.
Yep.
We hear you.
I hear you as well.
Oh. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah.
We can hear you.
Okay, I'm not sure. I was like, if I'm muted, if I'm not muted. Anyway, so one of the things that my ex used to do, so in order to get me to come back, right, I'd be fine where I was at, right, but he would write me in the middle of the night. Like, I can remember this one situation all so well. So she wrote me in the middle of the night, right. She started writing me and saying all these crazy things to me about how much she missed me, all this other stuff. And that went from 11 to 12. Then from 12 to 1 o'clock, she started sending me, like, you know, text pics and stuff like that, you know, and telling me what it would feel like if I was there and anything else, right? So what I would do, what I did in that situation is by 2 o'clock, I stopped whatever I was doing, and I went over there. And, of course, she would just be overwhelming with her sex. Whatever I thought about, anything that I wanted to do, anything that I thought about, she would even suggest things, you know, anything else was going on. And that's what she would do. And she had been doing this to me for years. Like, just when I'd be like, all right, I'm out the door. And we'd come back, and then for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, it'd be the honeymoon phase. Constant attention, constant all this other stuff. As much sex as I can handle or anything else until I got comfortable, until she got comfortable. And then all the negative stuff would start right back up. Something didn't happen, anything else. It could be used to get me to pay bills or do something else or anything else that's going on or to make me pliable to want to pay or give or do something that I would normally not do, or to stop me from going to be with someone that I wanted to really be with, you know. So I see the cycle happening. It happens to men. It happens to women. It happens to a person, because narcissistic behavior is not related to just men. It's also for women as well. So sex, people can love bomb you with sex. Oh, damn, we lost our wood. Anyway, or did we? Hold on a second. I want to make sure I didn't lose everybody. All right. So, in that opinion, have you been love bombed? What did it look like? And how did you get out of it?
Lord. Lord. Almost every relationship that I've been in has been with a narcissist. And the only reason that I got in relationships like that is because I had a very abusive childhood. My family was just, they were off the chain, and that's all I knew. I didn't know of good treatment, true, genuine good treatment. My husband used to love bomb me, and he was one of the worst. I've had people that I befriended, and they were troubled mentally because of how they were done. And because my energy was good, they found the way to keep me in their lives was to love bomb me. To get away from it, they hurt me really, 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 really bad. They did me really dirty. And I had to keep from literally doing some wicked shit to them. I knew better. I knew that life was worth living outside of a prison cell. So I chose to just fight that urge to want to do something to them really bad. Because I have information that could break a person's world. But I kept it to myself. And I just stayed away as hard as it was. Extremely, extremely difficult. Now, with my husband, I had to separate from him. Literally, I had to pack my babies up, and I had to go stay with my mother for a while in order for him to straighten up and fly right for a minute. But then he turned around, and after I came back, I mean, he would, like, convince me, talk all the good stuff, and very sensible. The narcissists, are they know how to manipulate you. They know what to say. They know how to act for a little while to pull you back in. Once he pulled me back in, he was on good behavior for a good while, and then it started back up again. It's no fun being love-bombed by narcissists, but those are the only ones that I have experienced. As far as being in a relationship and them not being, I know people that are not, don't have narcissistic tendencies now, but back then, throughout the majority of my life, those were really the only people that I associated with because that's what I knew coming up. So you just got to try to keep from retaliating, because if you give them that, they know that they got you, and they pretty much will turn the tables around and manipulate you, and because they probably know your soft spot, and they will play on that for a good while. People like that are relentless in their pursuit to keep you under their thumb. And they will continue to do that. And like I said, I had to learn how to completely separate myself from those people. Because if not, y'all wouldn't be talking to me today. I'm trying to tell you, I'd probably be under the jail for what I wanted to do.
Right. Anyone else?
I agree with Danielle and a lot of what she said, because I was raised by a narcissist, so I thought that was how men were. So I just was always drawn to that same energy, and I always got my feelings hurt. And so I had to find a way to open my eyes to the narcissistic behavior in order to not get caught into those cycles again. The last narcissistic relationship that I had, when he like really showed his true colors, I walked away right then because I knew where it was headed, and I stayed away from it. Now, he has tried to reach out to me since, but I have nothing to say to you at this point because you showed me who you really were, and I'm not willing to be subject to that again. But it took me a long time to get to this point because, like I said, that was what I knew. That was what I was raised with. And I thought my father had narcissistic tendencies, but he took pride in everything. So he was proud of the things that he gave us and the way he could make things look. So, you know, there was more reward than risk in that situation for me. But it also, in the long run, gave me all the wrong signals when I started dating and started going out. So, you know, I just kept choosing guys who had egos bigger than any room they were in and kept getting my feelings hurt.
Can I reiterate real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not only was I love bombed, like I said, I came from a very abusive and neglected background. I used to love bomb people because of being dependent on them staying around me. I needed people around me. I still do it now, but it comes from a genuine
hungry.
Place. Okay, well, what I do now, I do it now, but I do it from a genuine place. When I was doing it when I was younger, in my younger adult years, I was doing it because I needed the reassurance of just a person being around me because I was abandoned a lot when I was a kid. Now when I do it, it definitely comes from the heart because I want people to understand who they are and how that life is not so bad. I want them to be on the positive side of life, regardless of what's going on. It's not that I am trying to draw people to me or I need somebody in my life. I just want them to see the lighter side of life. You know, it's a big difference. That's all.
Yeah, I can understand that as well. Because you get so caught up in the needing someone that you give of yourself way more than you know when you're overdoing it. Your gut tells you when you're doing too much, but you get so caught up in not wanting to be alone that you overdo it. When you can get to a place where you can just say, I love you, and whether they accept it that way or not, you can give that love and move forward, then you've beat your own demon at that point.
Yep. And that's sure enough here. Okay. Trust me.
So let me return to the fellas. Blaze, let me start with you. Have you ever been love bombed? And if so, or have you love bombed? And if so, what were the things you did to get out of it or get through it?
I was my last relationship. She started off with the whole. It seemed like I was being pimped for a minute. Buying me things, unnecessarily giving me too much money, because she was making a lot of money. And so, you know, there was a time at the beginning of our relationship that I didn't have money to even go visit her because of where I was financially. So, you know, I told her, you know, once I get paid, I can come down here and, you know, we can hang out or whatever. Because I'm the type of person that, as a man, I want to be the person to take you out and do things for you with my money. But she was like, you know, man, if you want to come down here and visit me, I'll give you gas money. So I'm thinking $20, $30, because she lives about a good 30, 40 miles away from me. So, like, okay. So I get there, and she gives me $100, and I'm looking at her like, okay, what is $100 for? Well, so you can get back and forth to work, plus you need gas and such and this and that. So, you know, you can buy yourself some food or whatever. And I'm like, I don't like taking money from out of your children's mouth. She has two kids at that point. So I'm like, it don't really sit well with me here. Why don't you take $60 back? No, you keep it. And I'm like, all right. So then there's another situation months later that the same situation happens. So she gave me another $100. I said, no. So I told her, like, the next time when I come down here, I'm going to do what I need to do. And so all that, you know, took place. And so on and so forth. She just is always showering me, and then we start getting the arguments and things start getting really bad and whatever. And so it just didn't sit well with me. And then we were arguing about dumb stuff. And so I just decided, you know, at this point, after so many different times of breaking up, getting mad together, get mad at each other, I just cut it off. Because I just felt like, you know, I was being played in a lot of different situations. So that's basically what I ended up doing, is just cutting it off and not talking to her ever again. Because it was just a lot of different things she was undermindedly doing behind my back that I didn't know about. Cheating on me was one of them. So I just let it go.
Wow. Let me go to Ben Wendell. And Zwina, I'm sorry. Van?
You said Van or Edwina? I heard you say Edwina.
No, I said Van. No, I'm going to go to you, then Edwina, and then I'm going to go to Wendell.
Love bombed. Yeah. Except the only thing I was showered with was sex and kids. Kids I wanted. The sex I wanted. But I had no idea that it would cost me 9-10 years later falsehoods. You know, because I was married for 8 of those years. We were together for 10 of those years, right? And for the majority of the relationship, you talk about being showered with gifts. I was the one doing the gift showering. But my love was genuine, right? So hers, on the other hand, was not. She basically did or gave whatever I wanted physically to make sure that her security was stable. So yeah, I've been love bombing, you know, pretty much like you had said earlier, you know, that call could come and, you know, the intimacy would be, you know, always make me want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, yeah, I have been, for sure.
All right. That's what's up. Edwina.
Have I ever been love bombed? I don't know that I has. I think that the biggest problem that I have in my relationship is that my husband thinks that when he's only attentive when I'm not. If I'm you know, trying to explain to him how I feel, if I'm saying, you know, he'll ignore me or say that I'm nagging him. But then when I'm not saying anything, then he's like really nice to me. Or when times when we've broken up and, you know, walked away from each other, he'll always use the idea of a family as a reason to try to, you know, get me to come back because he knows that that's something that's important to me. But would that be considered love bombing? And if it's only a... doesn't have anything to do with gifts. That's definitely not something that I've missed. But compliments and being nice only at times when it benefits you, and then taking that affection and that attention away when you know, as a form of punishment, I can definitely understand that.
Okay. Wendell.
Yeah, I have been love bombed. That was only exacerbated by the fact that in my formative years, I was also a people pleaser. So I was right pickings for you know, for narcissistic behavior. That combined with the prevailing influence of simp-laden radio and other programming. Definitely made it easy for me to be susceptible to grasping and clawing after any breadcrumbs of affection that, you know, that were given to me, especially if they were by someone that I deemed to be at a level of of attractiveness and whatnot that I wasn't necessarily thinking I was worthy of. So it happens to men. It absolutely does. The manipulations that go along with establishing a value proposition in potential relationships can definitely, you know, create that kind of space. And if you're susceptible to, you know, to the breadcrumbing and whatnot, then I know that I was. I was very susceptible to it because I was always trying to please other people. And it wasn't until I gained more of a sense of self and my own worth and looked for my validation to come from me, from within me instead of outside of me, then it was only after that point in time that I was able to break free of those chains. Yeah. So it's a different
experience. Yeah, being a people pleaser definitely will put you forth. So let me bring up the rest of these things. Where I left off, where she said stage two of it was to value, she tried to set a boundary. And she told him that she cared for him, but it wouldn't be possible for her to trust him again. She would not get back together, and she would appreciate it if he stopped contacting her. And so even though she told him that, he became mad. And he said, yo, how can you reject me after I spent so much time and money on you to get you back? And that, you know, and then he started giving her threats. She blocked him all forms of communication. He started sending her gifts that were over top and at times bizarre, and he threatened to go to police, but he kept sending stuff in the mail, and so the devaluing process began when he not respected her boundaries, threatening her and putting her down, and he objectified her to feel her ego. Then there was the discard where if she had fallen for his love bomb, you know, he would begin to devalue her through criticisms, gaslighting, passive-aggressive jokes, pent-up tension, some form of explosion would occur, potentially leading to the relationship being discarded or anything else. And the explosion could be when you don't do what they expect you to do when they expect you to do this. And they would flip out and do something else. And so the funny thing is that for me, like I can speak for me, like I remember one time she was breaking stuff in the house. Like she was literally like breaking things. Like, and it was crazy because it was like, I decided to buy myself a watch. Right. So I worked two jobs. Right. And I knew I had the money and I knew I would get paid next week. Right. So when I bought myself a watch, she really literally began breaking shit in the house. Like, you want to see us? Oh boy, you want to see us put out? Even though the bread was But it was this act, this unrational act of doing things, breaking shit, doing all this other stuff, the explosion, right? And to me, you know, the weird thing is, which I discovered therapy later on, right, that my mother would do the same things to my father, but my father never went for any of it. My father would be as calm as possible, and he'd be like, well, I'm taking the kids to get ice cream. When you're done, let me know. We all go get ice cream, right? And so, you know, He acted like it would never happen. It made my mother crazy. But my mother was like, that was the right thing to do. But for me, because I saw the behavior, this is how I responded to it, not knowing that literally I set myself up for that. So literally that explosion would happen. I'm crazy. You know, all this stuff. And he'd be like, no, don't be crazy with me. Please stop. You know, nuts. All right. So that's the whole thing. Discard, stage four, hoovering. That means manipulative tactics like stay close to survivor, insincere apologies, reaching out randomly, reaching out on important dates, desperately needing help, maybe grandiose problems. The desperately needing help, that was the thing. I need help. You got to help me. You know, and I was like, oh, I'm coming to help you. I was like, I'm putting my cape on.
Yeah, turning you into Captain Save-A-Ho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that part. All right, making grandiose promises. I promise you, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's my fault for this, you know. And then, you know, all you do is protect yourself in contact. And then they'll try to find a new supply source to feed their ego. So here's the checklist of warning signs. I'll read this real quick. And then I want to get into truth or lies of relationship with Wendell, because I know that was a hot topic. I wanted to get into that. It was juicy. All right, is there something about the person character that seems inconsistent? Are they hot and cold? One day they're clingy, smothering. The next day they ignore your calls, text. Does the pacing of the relationship make sense? When they give you compliments, do they feel like they're somewhat about themselves? Oh, that shirt I bought you looks good on you. I have excellent taste, huh? All right. Well, I don't know if that's a good one, because I don't know that one. But
manipulation
all the time. Yeah, but frames it as if they're doing it for your safety. They violate your boundaries. They set a limit. I'm not ready to meet your children yet. Please not come over my house the weekend. And they stop by to surprise you in the middle of the day with candy for your children. Or you ask them not to contact you and you state that you reach out the night after your children go to bed, and they call you several times throughout the day to ask you what you're doing. Are they short-tempered, frequently excessively angry? Do they cut you off when you're talking despite asking you a question? Are they demeaning, critical towards you? Do they have a high sense of grandeur, meaning full of themselves, without much to back it up? Are they constantly needing reassurance and praise? Are they entitled? Do they use their loved ones, families, and friends? All right. Now, for yourself, do you feel overwhelmed, disoriented by the attention? Are you not given the space to process your feelings properly? Is your intuition that giving you pause about pursuing a relationship with this person? Do you feel criticized or small within a relationship? Do you feel the sense of autonomy or agency within the relationship? Do you have hope for positive things in a relationship? Do they come to fruition, or are you often led on and disappointed? Are you starting not to trust yourself? Do your boundaries feel violated regularly? All right, so some things are in there. You know, it says to look out for controlling behaviors, isolating you from your friends and family. Know what that feels like. And feeling entitled to all your passwords, content of your conversations, accusing you of cheating to make you prove your trustworthiness, and gaslighting. So with anything else, well, all this stuff has happened. I think that we've all talked about different forms of them. And in the back channel, I receive this thing that it's always about them and what they think they did for you and what you don't, and what you did for you. And if you don't give in to them, they go bananas. So I know what that feels like. You'll be like, you know, do you know how much I did this for you? Do you know all this stuff that I made and all the things that I pushed all this stuff for you and I made this happen for you? Or look at what I did for you and anything else, right? That happens. Crazy. So that being said, closing comments. Anybody have any closing comments on this?
Been there, done that. Got the T-shirt.
No return rides on that one.
No, honey, I ain't going back. I threw gasoline on that bridge. Okay, I'm trying to tell you. And I tried to dry up the lake that was underneath of it. I'm trying to tell you.
I burnt that mug up. All right, so there's no way in the comments. Wendell, your brother, we got like a hot 10 minutes. Can we get into the truth of lies real quick?
Sure.
I know it's not enough time, but, you know, at least we can start and we'll continue with you on the next war council.
All right. So... So we're talking about the debate that or the conversation that I was having with Quinita.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I was just after looking at that video that was posted about the woman proposing to her man. And I was just, you know, I was just saying, I said, listen, I'm not Jon Snow, so I'm not going to bend the knee again. but yeah, just I think it was something to be said about in the modern dating context, how there's a prevailing attitude that, you know, a man is optional, that he's not necessarily needed. He may be wanted, but not needed. However, if he is desired, it's still expected that he comes after her, that there's that whole I am the prize, I am the table, you know, mentality that is so toxically pervasive that it tries to set up a incorrect or improper value proposition, that one person is more valuable than the other. Therefore, it is only proper and serving or and fitting that you know, that the guy prove himself beyond reasonable measure to someone who is not, you know, going to reciprocate that same energy. And so it definitely, you know, had a there was some good back and forth, some good dialogue along those lines.
Yeah, I was hoping she'd be here. I know she probably had something else going on at the time, but you know, we're gonna pick it back up. But you know, so let me just ask the ladies, would you propose to your man to marry them?
Hell no.
Right? If you hear that.
No. Hell no. I would tell him, yes, I do want to get married, but I'm not buying no ring. I'm not getting on no knee. I just, it's something as open as we are these days to just about everything. It's supposed to be acceptable. That is one thing. That tradition, I cannot go against. It does not feel right. Something is just completely off about that. And I can't see, honestly, okay, if you want to marry that girl that proposes to you, that's fine and good. But I feel like it takes away from the man when you do that. I can't. No. Mm-mm. Nope. Not in this lifetime. Not going to happen.
Wow.
Sorry.
And I would state that in my opening statement, I did say that I would not accept a proposal for a woman from a woman in that way. I said I'd rather sit mm-hmm. down and negotiate a deal with her. That way the decision mm-hmm. to make a union is one more of an intellectual one than one that's clouded by emotion. But yeah,
there
that whole
go.
Going down on my knee, I ain't mm-hmm. doing that no more.
Okay. Something it takes away from the man. It's like me coming home. Okay, we both work. Me coming home and just ordering him around. It just takes. It demeans. To me, it seems demeaning. I just can't. Nah, man. Come on. I don't get it with people these days. I just don't understand. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
So Van, would you allow a woman to propose to you to get married?
Hell no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Y'all gotta forgive me. I kind of forgot where I was. Let me backtrack. Mojave, I would not accept a proposal of marriage from a woman because I am from a traditional background, and I would be the one who would to propose. And quite honestly, she better not propose to me. She will definitely not like the answer. Yeah, so no, I would not. And I just feel like, wow, that's a great gesture and everything. Let me just take off the Jordan so I don't crease them. But I'm not accepting it from a woman. You know, it's a good gesture and everything if that's what she wants. But hopefully she is of a traditional mindset and she would not want to propose to a man. We would have a conversation about marriage so she would understand where I'm coming from and where, you know, and I can understand where she's coming from. And ultimately, those kind of conversations will pretty much handle themselves. She'll either, right. you know, walk away and be like, well, yeah, I want a husband. And, yeah, well, I'm not looking for a wife. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, Lisa, would you ask your man to marry you?
For the reasons that Van said, that would be the reason why I would not, because I feel like it takes away from the tradition of it. If you're going to step in that role, then you're opening yourself up for whatever he may say. And most men are not going to take kindly to it looking like, oh, this dude was slow on the trigger, so she's just going to step out and propose to him. Because she did that in a public place. That video was in a very public place. And it, for us as women, even if we weren't going to say yes, we would try and smooth it over. We wouldn't make a scene of it. But in that video, he looked like he was like, get up, stop it, don't do that. And so it becomes an embarrassing situation all the way around. And even if he, in his mind, had wanted to propose to her, that gesture in itself is going to put him off because mm-hmm. she's usurping his position.
Real quick, let me just say this. We have less than 90 seconds for you to call in to continue the conversation. The number is, what is the number? Jesus.
319-527-6300.
No, my mind really went blank right that moment. I was like, oh, what just happened? 319-527-6300. Yikes. Oh man, which is really, really interesting. Wow. Crazy. So it's 1 minute left. The Blog Talk lady is going to kick you off. Please call the number 319-527-6300. We are still here. We are rocking. Make sure that you call in. If you're here, we're about to go over into overtime. I'm going to do this Reddit thing, which I think is absolutely crazy. And you got 10 seconds left. And we are going to go from there. And 3, 2, 1. Congratulations. If you're within the sound of my voice, you have made it into overtime here at War Council on the 50 Radio Universal For Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? Get your Raw Links. You know, I got mine. You should get yours. Now, all right. Here's the Reddit thing, right? So a guy was with his girlfriend for 3 years. He got engaged to her, right? But he didn't like her behaviors surrounding their marriage. She became very controlling. She was dictating to him what he could or could not do. He really wasn't feeling it. So he decided at that time to end the engagement. She kept the ring. She did not give it back. And the majority of the things that he had purchased in the apartment that he had before she moved in, she kept.
She
comes from a family where...
She's supposed to give that ring back. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. She's supposed to give it back, right? So...
Yes.
So she kept the ring. So he comes from a family where both his parents divorced and both his mother married somebody else and his father married somebody else. He also from and it happened such a long, like when his parents broke up, he was like young. So it was like, he was like maybe like 4 or 5 when it happened. And so his father had married a woman who had a child that was two or three years younger than him, right? So at the current time, he's like 28, right? So literally his stepbrother is 25. So 2 years after he breaks off with this person, he finds out that his stepbrother is seeing his ex-fiance. And no one seems to have a problem with it. His whole entire family on his father's side, his mother's side, they're up in arms. But his stepmother likes her and thinks it's okay. So then he's like, yeah, this is bullshit. I'm not with none of this shit or anything else. So then they have a family dinner at a restaurant. And so he sees her and he's like, yeah, I'm out of here. And the brother goes, nah. He said, just be here for 1 second. And then he goes to propose to the girl in front of him. So then during the whole thing, so he just starts acting out. And so his father and the stepmother are exceedingly angry with him for ruining his stepbrother's moment. And so he wanted to know at that point, is he the butthole for acting out the way he was? So I'm bringing this before the War Council because when I read it, I was like, yo, people are out their goddamn minds, you know. But shit happens. So what do y'all think? What's your opinion on it? And if you're with us still, you can raise your hand and answer the question. I know there's some people here. I know 919-770. You can answer the questions. Anything else you want to do, we can do. And this is the last thing we're going to do because it's a school night and people are working in the morning. But, yeah, so what do y'all think?
People can do what the hell they want to do. It's nobody else's business. If those two broke up and she wanted to hook up with his brother, if his brother feels like, well, that's the woman for me, well, that's their business. You can dislike it all you want, but it really isn't anybody else's business what somebody else does. If they're both single, it's no holds barred. It's all bets are off. It's their, look, it's open season. It is.
I think the courtesy in the situation was the problem. I think if the stepbrother had come to his brother and said, I'm kind of interested in her, you know, and gave him a forewarning instead of him finding out somewhere along the way, you know, I think that was the beginning of the problem, because it was done covertly for that brother. And, you know, you find out that this girl that you were engaged to is now basically in a relationship with your brother without your knowledge of any of it. Your brother should have had the courtesy to come to you and say, okay, I'm kind of feeling her, and I just wanted you to know before it turned into something that, you know, something bigger. I wanted to give you a heads up. Then he wouldn't probably have acted in the way that he did, because he would have had the opportunity to adjust to the idea without it being just something he found out along the way.
Courtesy doesn't mean you're obligated to tell him any damn thing. He doesn't have to.
Right. And I put it that way.
Feel some way. I'm at the point in my life, I have seen so much dirt being done like this. Guess what? She's a free agent once they break up. Plain and simple.
Well,
all right. So to your
original question, Mahavi, was he wrong for acting out the way that he did? I say yes and no. I say yes, he was wrong for acting out, because at the end of the day, like Danielle was saying, they're two grown individuals. They don't owe anything to anyone. The brother was not with her at the time that he proposed. So him acting the way that he did kind of still says that he still harbors feelings and still cares about her in that manner. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he should not have acted that way. And I say he should have acted that way because he was blindsided And I agree that his brother should have at least talked to him about it.
Mm-hmm.
At least have a conversation that you're going to do this. And it's not for the sake of you want his blessing. It's for the sake of you don't get what you just had happen, that he just went off half cop.
Oh,
you know, the
I wonder what your opinion on
it. Yeah, I was saying, you know, when you go through a breakup with someone, even if it is somewhat amicable, you still have the right to erect boundaries that should be respected. And some people have the boundary that I'm going to love you from afar. I may not harbor ill will towards you. However, it is not my desire to share space with you. And in this case, the family orchestrated a situation whereby the one brother was kind of being cajoled and coerced into sharing space with someone who he, you know, for his own reasons, may have established a personal boundary that should have been respected. And so in that regards, I can understand completely why he acted a jack. I mean, that reminds me of the barber in Coming to America. You know,
you must be out your goddamn mind.
That's what I get from it. Now, could he have exercised more restraint? Obviously, he could have. And I think that the family was banking on his ability to exercise restraint. And they got a rude awakening when he opted not to exercise said restraint. But he is a human being. And for the family to orchestrate a circumstance and a situation that would necessitate him behaving in a certain way in order for the other brother to have his moment, and to do that without even giving him a heads up, that was very egotistical and egocentric of the family and the other brother to do that to him. If the brother who's marrying this girl, if he is so blind as to not see what she did to his brother and think that she was going to treat him any differently, some people are willing participants in their own demise, and that's his right to do so. But to expect someone else to be shoved into and kind of forced into a situation where they are now being confronted with someone from their past who they would rather not share time and space with was very insensitive and wrong of the family to do that.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with everything. Personally, I know that if it was my family, or someone else, and you decide to do something, there's nothing you can do to get me to come back around, especially knowing that. That's just something that I think would be crazy, especially if you knew I was already engaged, she didn't give me back the ring. She basically tried to punish me by keeping physical items and be a certain type of person. And here you are, you come along and you're like, okay, I'm going to wait for you. And then I'm trying to prove something to you or punish you by trying to engage her in front of you and expect you to deal with it. Cause my mother and my father are going to make you accept it. Go for none of that shit. I don't know. I probably would flip the table too, and not just because I was missing her. It would just be the VP of the situation. I would not be going to the wedding. It would not be going down. Like, it would just not go down in any sense of word. You'd be lucky,
Yeah, it sucks.
But like I was trying to decide between that one or this other one, which was crazy because it's like a family of siblings, and the family's really tight-knit. And so the daughter, like, she finally got pregnant, right? And so she basically, like, she had her nephew, her other, she has two brothers, and one of her brothers has kids, you know, and the other one, her other brother is with a woman that they don't want any kids, like, they don't want any kids at all. So basically, when she was putting the shirt on the other nephew that says, I'm going to be a big cousin, right? She saw the shirt. Mm. So when she got ready to make the announcement, right, there's like somebody's at this table is pregnant, and the sister-in-law stood up and was like, yeah, it's me, and started rubbing her stomach and doing all this other stuff. And then she's like, you know, so the sister's mad. She's like, you're not even pregnant. You're not even pregnant. And so her whole family cheated on her for yelling at the sister-in-law, who wasn't really pregnant, was acting. It's like, how dare you take this moment away from her and all this other stuff. And she's like, she saw the shirt. This is the only reason why she's doing it. And it was like, when you hear the story, like, and the funny thing is, like, three different people accounted the same story, and it came up the same way. And I was just like, yo, between that, but I thought the other one was utterly ridiculous. I was like, you said, brother, you are married to this other person. But imagine someone stealing your thunder of you announcing your pregnancy, and they're not even pregnant at all.
It ain't yeah, people are
they
assholes,
just did it because
man.
They got, and they said, oh, the moment took me. I got involved in the moment. And then the family finds out and is like, well, we can do another dinner and you can announce to us. And she's like, fuck you. Fuck this dinner. Fuck all this shit. You'd be lucky you get to see this kid. You'd be lucky, you know. And the family's like, oh, you're the asshole for doing that. And I'm like, no, she's not the asshole. I was like, yeah, a sister-in-law basically, and they said that the sister-in-law is entitled, always wants to be involved in everything, always has something to say, always, like, you know, no matter what's going on. Like, I guess their grandmother died, and she was trying to make the grandmother's death about her. I was like, how do people get into these situations? But then again, I think about my life, and I go, yeah, shit happens. Anyway, that being said, any closing remarks? It is a cool night. And I must kill him to getting on. How y'all feel about this? Wait, man, we forgot to talk about what's happening. I forgot to do the whole roll call for what we're doing for Epiphany for this week. Shot myself in the foot. So let's do that first. So then, what's happening at Epiphany Radio U versus?
Oh, man, ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow night for the Love Zone with your host, Miss VIP and La Pearl La Negra. Thursday nights to get down with J. Rob, the wise son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night, there will be no show. But Saturday night, y'all, don't miss Poetic Therapy with La Pearl, La Negra, and Stan the Man, Philip Shaw. Sunday night's going to be the Inspiration Factory with your host, Divine Inspiration, a.k.a. Paul Sampson, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night, y'all, is going to be Do What You Like with Mr. Metaphoria and yours truly, Poetic. And then next Tuesday, we'll be right back here for one of my hobbies, great shows, Fly Speak, Call Council, Honey Dripper 2.0, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and all that good stuff. Hey, my hobby, let them know what show you got coming on next week. Back to you.
I do believe it's Fly Speak, quote me on it. I think it's Fly Speak, but, you know, I don't know. I got to look at my notes. Anyway, any other closing remarks before we shut it down to do everything else that's happening?
Dope show. Thank y'all for coming. Thank you for having me. Well, you guys,
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Love it, y'all. Love it.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
I love you guys so much.
To you. And we know you're in love with the new grandbaby too, because the face, I know you happy. I was like, oh, she's in love. I said, look at how much love. You, just your face, and then the joke.
You saw him break
joke.
Me down,
like,
right?
Right. Yeah. Nah, I saw it, but the joke was funny because, right, so you know when you have new parents, they think everything they do, like, they forget the whole reason that you done raised them and all this other stuff. They stand before you because you got their ass to that point. They forget about that shit, right? They forget about all the time, right? So they tried to tell him, you got to be careful with the baby. And she's like, do you see these G's?
Oh, God. Oh, y'all heard that. Okay. Careful he don't flip through. I got all this stomach, right, and all these boobies, and he talking about be careful he don't flip through. Flip through what?
Yeah.
Right. Do you not see the safety net under here?
That's right. That was hilarious. I said that baby got a whole, he got a built-in water bag.
Yes, he does. And he slept in my arm for almost a good hour. He slept the whole time. He was comfortable. Even his mom was like, he never sleep that long. I told you, grandma fat is different. Okay, y'all just don't get it. But you will. I'm trying to tell you. It's softer, you know. It's more, you know. You can. It's just different later.
Well, that's what it is. But it's a blessing, and I'm glad it's a blessing
it
for you because it's important, you know.
Yeah.
Be having that all the stuff that's going on. You know, sometimes you got like kids, like, and that's the funny thing. I forgot who said it to me. When I said, the kid goes, I want to go swimming. He's like, yo, it's 59 degrees. And he's like, I'm going to go swimming anyway. He jumped in the water. He's like, I'm going to go swimming anymore. He's like, so my kid was like, he was like, yeah, I want some coffee. I said, you want coffee? He's like, yeah, I want some coffee. So we went to 7-Eleven, right? And I said, you want coffee? He's like, yeah. I said, just milk and sugar? He's like, yeah. Yo, you taste it? He's like, this just don't taste good. I was like, you played yourself a little bit. I was like, you should have asked. See, because people be thinking, kids be saying you coffee. They be thinking like, yo, so why am I coffee? You know. I'd be putting, you know, flavored creamer in it and all kinds of stuff. So it tastes kind of good. It tastes, you know, it's good, you know. And they'd be thinking, oh, mm-hmm. Hell, this is going to taste good. I'm going to drink it. And I'd be like, oh, this is what you want? You want? Okay, yeah, drink it. Like, this tastes nasty. Yeah, that's what I thought. Some asthma shit you ain't got no business as or no shit. Anyway, that's besides the point. All right, you guys, we're going to go. It's school night. Love you guys. It's been a fantastic time. I enjoy it. You guys are super dynamic, phenomenal. I would like to thank Mr. Wendell Berry, the eloquent one, Lisa Lips, the beautiful one, Danielle, super, super happy birthday to you, and Glamma, one of the best people in the entire world. And, of course, Mr. Aww. Pineapple Calligraphy, the green-eyed bandit, Mr. I talk so many of these words.
He always got something new.
I'm just saying. Listen, I'm gonna give compliments for compliments due, man. I'm just saying. I can't do that, man. I can't do that thing, man. You know, and you and Wendell, y'all got beards. You know, my joint is still. I'm in the starting gate. Y'all got them. I got the fur. Got the. You know, women would be like, oh, that's a beard. They'd be like, oh, that's a beard. You know. Between your green eye bandit beard and Wendell's, you know, Hershey's chocolate kisses beard, it's going to be a hard time we all get together, man. I'm going to have to sit there. I love bombing. I'm practicing love bombing right now.
Oh, God.
Wow. No, for real. Because every time I see Wendell be going out, and it'd be, he don't care, it'd be white people would be like, he'd be like, yeah, I'm out here with these good people. I'm like, yo, they just found Wendell. They treat him to lunch. I was like, you got good personality. Great. you know.
That was a long time ago, bro.
But you did it now. But other than that, it's been a fantastic pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be with y'all getting this done. It's an amazing time, and it's beautiful. And I would like to thank all y'all. And honestly, I love everything about you guys, and everything makes this more than worth it. Like, makes it everything is supposed to be happening. So I thank y'all for coming. God bless you. Sleep well. Be safe. And I wish you guys a very good night. All right? So this podcast was self-destruct. Love you guys in 10, 9,
love you.
8,
love you.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good night.